Okay, welcome back to the Hawkins Community Pool.
Let's go take a deep, deep dive into the cool chlorine film. Fuck. Let's take a deep, deep dive into the chlorine film. Icy, crystal clear waters of the Hawkins Community Pool.
Oh my goodness, we're not getting any better at this.
We're
intro.
Not. It's actually getting worse. Yeah.
All right. So this is our bonus episodes for Skull Rock Broadcast, and we are super excited to have a friend joining us for this conversation today. So welcome, Candace.
Thank you, guys. I am so happy and grateful to be here.
Happy to have you.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself, just for the listeners.
I've been a fan of the show for a little over 2 years now. I've gotten really like in love with it. My family would probably say like low-key obsessed with it. I am a writer. I have a lot of theater background. I'm also like a really big like mental health advocate, and yeah, I'm just a nerd, happy to be here.
Love that.
And you're in good company. Mm-hmm. We love having you here. So we did want to talk a little bit about mental health today. And I know that's a sensitive topic for some people. So just know that we might be going into some topics that might be a little bit difficult to talk about, to hear about sometimes. So keep that in mind. Take care of yourself as you're listening. But we wanted to talk about, or Candace had the great idea to talk about, some of the mental health representation in especially Stranger Things season 4 with Max. So tell us a little bit of what you were thinking with that.
You know, Max's storyline in season 4 really resonates with me, especially because I dealt with loss at a really young age, just like Max has. And though my relationship with my mom was drastically different from Max's relationship with Billy, I was just blown away and really moved by how thoughtful like the cast and the writers were in portraying her struggles with mental health, how isolating that can really be, and how music really is like a genuine lifeline for us. It can help us to stay grounded when we feel like we don't have any ground to stand on.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I definitely think that Max, it was hard to watch at the beginning of season 4 because in season 2, she wants so badly to be a part of that group. And we were rewatching season 2 and talking about that right now. So we just watched the episode where Lucas fills her in on everything. So, and he asks her before he starts to tell her, he says, if you know this, you could be hurt, you could be killed. Do you accept the risk? And I got like chills when I watched that part, because knowing now what she's gone through as a part of this, but it's not because she knows that this stuff is happening. Like, it would have happened to her no matter what, but it was just the evil wizard's fault. Yeah, exactly. It's not the clock-making wizard. Yeah. But then season 3, she's such like a bubbly person and is so engaging and fun with Elle. And to watch her, that drastic transition for season 4, where she's not really hanging out with anybody, she's kind of isolated. So I do think it's realistic that they portrayed her this way, because I think sometimes one fault of the show is that these kids have gone through some awful shit. The kids, the teenagers, and you don't really get to see them dealing with that trauma in any way. So it was refreshing in a way to see Max go through this, but it was also very upsetting and difficult. And then also, even though she was isolating herself, I did like that, like, she still sat with Mike and Dustin at the pep rally. They were still there for her, even though she wasn't as engaged with them as she might have been previously. It was nice to see. We've talked about how, like, the Mike Max friendship is something that I feel like could have been explored a little bit more, because when Will and Elle left, they, it seems like the three of them with Dustin as well, kind of still hung out and everything. And that was just kind of an interesting connection as well. So yeah, I definitely think there's a lot to unpack with Max in season four, and starting from that very first episode. But the music part as well is really cool, because even throughout all of that, she's got those headphones on in the very first episode. So
yeah, you know, like I said, like I really relate to what Max is going through in season four, because, you know, I lost my mom like sixth grade, and I remember sixth grade, I had like the normal like anxieties that come with entering like a new school, trying to fit in and stuff, trying to make friends. And I remember, like, before my mom passed, like, I was really kind of more extroverted and bubbly and stuff. And I remember, you know, even like in the recent weeks after her passing and stuff, I was still very much like Max at the end of season three. You know, she just lost Billy, and yet the last time we see her in season three really is, you know, she's with Lucas singing, making fun of Dustin.
Yeah, singing.
Yeah. And, you know, she was trying to still be happy and normal. And, you know, that hits home, because that's what I was trying to do for my family and for myself. And I just remember, you know, like it didn't last very long. Like, I switched to how we see Max in season four. In the beginning of season four, where she just feels so kind of alienated by her experience. And it's like, you know, you have people around you. You want to participate in what's going on around you. You want to be active in your friendships and stuff. But there's just something that comes with trauma and mental health struggles that makes that seem like really impossible. And I found solace in music. Like, I was attached to my CD player. I was attached to my albums. They got me through so much.
And it feels almost like the empty noise, you know, like, at least in my experiences, that happens. Like, I've noticed, like, music really helps listening to podcasts, just hearing that background noise to fill the dead noise, because then your mind starts spinning and, you know, your thoughts don't exactly are, you know, cheery, you know, and lighthearted. So I think music, you know, I remember my father said this after my mother passed away. He said, "Do you find yourself listening to music?" And I'm more of a movie person, but I was like, yeah, actually, I'm not really a music person. I'm terrible at naming artists and bands, but I was like, yeah, noticing, like, you know, sometimes I'd drive in silence. After she passed away, I always had the radio on. And, you know, I think, you know, there's certain songs that will remind you of ones that you have lost, or they'll bring you back to a different time in your life when there were good memories and stuff. And they say that music, and I think also the sense of smell, bring back the strongest sense of memories, because, like, you could smell, like, these cookies that say, like, you know, your grandmother baked you back when you were little and you haven't smelled that particular cookie in so long. It would be just like you listening to a song that maybe you remember listening or seeing in concert live for the first time when you were younger, more carefree, and it will make that emotional connection. So I like that we saw her as soon as she gets off that effing bus, she's got her headphones on. And I liked that, you know, like Megan said, she was there being supportive with Mike and Dustin during the rally. And even though Lucas tried to confront her in his own way, trying to help, being like, I can tell something's wrong. She, you know, you're like a ghost, you know, you're kind of pulling away. I like that she was still listening to the game, you know, because she did care enough. But you can see that, like, you know, her home life has abruptly and very drastically changed. Her mom's barely holding it together, working two jobs, drinking. She's alone a lot, you know, and part of that is her circumstances. And then another part is her depression. So I think the music and the headphones was just a really nice detail, because for us, we would listen to our CD players and then our, you know, SanDisk, iPod, you know, shuffle. But for them back then, it was their Walkman. It was their mixtapes, you know. So I think that music has always been very important throughout the show. But season four is what, like, hit the home run, at least in my eyes.
Yeah. And the characters interacting with the music more than just the music being on in the background. So.
And I agree. Like, going back to when she's in Miss Kelly's office, you know, she still has her headphones on. And Miss Kelly, you know, she's trying to be like the good mental health professional, trying to be like an actual, of actual help to Max. And she's like, you know, can you just take the headphones off?
Take a moment. Yeah.
And it's like, Max is so used to having these headphones on that, like, sometimes I feel like maybe she doesn't realize she still has them on.
It's like her security, like, blanket. It's like people with sunglasses.
Exactly. It's, and that, like, is that, so relatable.
Yep.
Because it, like, I would always, like, even in class, I remember, like, counting down the minutes in class until I could listen to my music again, because
it's a comfort.
Music just made me feel like I could still be here.
Yeah.
Because I think when you're going through something similar to what Max is going through, it's hard for you to get out of bed.
Yeah.
It's hard for you to be anywhere, you know. And music is one of those things that just, it helps you carry some of that weight, even if you're not really cognizant of it at the time. And with Lucas, like, I love how he's trying to reach out to her in that hallway scene afterwards, but I also, like, oof, I totally get Max's reaction. And I don't think she's necessarily, like, offended, even though it seems that way. But to me, it's more like, I was Max in middle school and in college. Like, when people say that kind of stuff to you, like, you know, you're like a ghost. You're like, it's like, you're not even really here. Like, I know something is wrong. You might want to really, like, communicate what's wrong. But if you don't have the words for it, or if you're feeling, like, the stigma that's so attached to mental health issues, or if you're worried about being a burden, you know, I think Max, when she heard Lucas tell her, like, you know, it's like, you're not even here. It's like, oh, you know, I'm already being a burden in a sense.
Right.
Because
but
I'm
that's
not being there.
That's not what he was trying to portray at all. So it's also
exactly
sort of,
but
knowing,
I can understand how that message gets mixed.
And that's how a 14-year-old boy, who, yes, he's been through very traumatic events, but he, nothing nearly as horrible and horrific as Max, but that's how he thought, as the ex-boyfriend, caring friend, like, I'll give her tickets to my basketball game to get her
out. Exactly.
And that was almost like, nope, that's not the way to go. But I do love, especially, there's this great line that she says later on in the RV, and he's panicking. He's like, we should find somebody else. And she's the voice of logic. And she goes, I'll run into the light, you know? And I think that's just, that's how you gotta, like, just deal with the heaviness, you know? Like, we were talking with Juan, and he was like, life's hard. Life's horrific, you know? And I always joke with Megan. I'm like, I live in my little Stacy coconut fantasy, because I feel like, you know, I think it was after my dog, Winchester, block your ears, Quinn, passed away. And I remember, to my friend Kathy, I just started, like, stating out loud every bad thing that had happened to me. And usually I'm bubbly and happy-go-lucky, and she would stop that thinking right now. Because she goes, how do you feel right now, now that you've stated it all in a row, you know, put it all in front of you, how do you feel? And I said, pretty effing awful. And she went, start thinking about what good has happened to you, you know? And I always tell my friend Jeanette and Melissa, I'm always like, my mom hadn't passed away, I wouldn't have gone away to school the time I did, and I wouldn't have never met you guys, you know? Like, everything I feel happens for a reason. And with Max, I think she found that inner strength because she already was a child from divorce. She was uprooted. She probably witnessed a lot of the abuse that, you know, Neil was inflicting on Billy. You know, we don't know the whole story. We know that things got really ugly afterwards when he left them, you know, that there were financial troubles, the mother's drinking, you know. So I think her just telling him, I'm going to run to the light. That's why I think Dear Billy is such an important episode, that A, that musical connection, and B, I always point this out, when she has the like montage, it's all of her friends. And I love that, even though my favorite like relationship is her and Lucas, I do love that their kiss at the snowball dance wasn't the thing that made her snap out of it. It was her high five to Elle. And friendships can really, really help. I tell anybody who's experiencing a hard time, I'm like, surround yourself with your people. Even if it's a small circle, talk with your friends. So her remembering that moment, maybe her first, you know, strong connection with a girl her own age that she was able to mentor and shadow in season 3. And I love that that kind of gave her the strength. And they're almost like this little family at the end. My favorite shot in the whole show is when she says, I'm still here, and they're still holding her, you know, that speaks volumes, and that's so powerful because they are like their own little family. Her friends and music saved her life.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But I think that's a good point, because it wasn't just the music. It was the fact that those people brought her that music and worked so hard to like bring her back out. And then she decided to go towards the light. Like, yep. She could have just
shut her eyes and been like, all
shut
right.
her eyes and said, like, yep, all this shit has happened to me. But like, she decided to get away from him and make that decision for herself. So it was kind of showing that, kind of making that decision for yourself, focusing on the good. And then throughout the remainder of the season, she was still struggling, but you could tell she was trying so hard to fight her way out of it. The other thing that I was kind of thinking about as we were talking about the very beginning was, even though it was, first of all, Sadie Sink's performance throughout the entire season
perfection.
Is incredible.
Absolutely. Like,
so I feel like
beautiful.
That needs to be, yeah, said. But when she was struggling, but when she heard Chrissy, her first instinct was still to help and to see what she could do. And she made that connection later that Chrissy was also struggling, and maybe that was how Vecna was able to get her. So that she thought she was also seeing the therapist, which is why they went to go see her at her house.
Yeah.
Kind of a funny moment. Also humor, because she still didn't lose her sense of humor either. Because
no, which I do love.
I love, even in the first episode where they're trying to get somebody to play D&D. She's like,
t-shirts?
Exactly. So just balancing. I love how the show is able to balance that really dark, deep stuff with some lighthearted humor, friendships.
Well, I think it adds to like the authenticity of it, because because you're dealing with whatever you're dealing with, it doesn't mean that, you know, you lose your sense of humor, or you stop trying to help people, or that, like, it doesn't mean that life stops happening. Life is still happening. I think music can help us, you know, to help ourselves and to help others.
Big time. I think music is so powerful, and, you know, it just, it brings so many great memories, you know, where were
it
you
really
when you first
does.
Heard it, you know?
And, you know, like, back to that scene where, you know, Kate Bush is playing and we have her flashbacks, her memories. Music is such an incredible, like, life-saving tool because it can help us transport us back to those happy memories.
Mm-hmm.
I think that song helped her to remember all the good stuff that was happening. Music just helps us to foster connection as we keep trying to help ourselves. It carries some of that weight that we're feeling, like I said earlier, because it's easy to blame ourselves for everything. It's easy to blame ourselves for our mental health struggles and like what we're going through and like, you know, why can't I stop being a ghost? It's like, well, I want to stop being a ghost, but I don't know how to correct it. And I think music for Max was like one of the first ways she knew how to not be so much of a ghost. Uh-huh. Music was keeping her connected to her reality while even when she didn't really want to be a part of reality.
Yeah. And I think it showed her too, like, I love that it was Kate Bush. I had only heard that song once before on the Netflix show Glow. And everyone was like, you've never heard Running Up That Hill before? And I'm like, I heard the Placebo cover before.
Right. I had heard the Placebo cover.
The Placebo cover is the first version I heard.
You can all tell we're around the same age because we're like, the Placebo cover. But I love that it was Kate Bush because I heard like she was like very ahead of her time as like indie artist and stuff. And she's badass and kind of goes to the beat of her own drum. And I know some people, some hardcore OG fans were gatekeeping and they didn't like how popular it got, but she made a shit ton of money off that.
Yeah,
got into
good
the
for
Rock
her.
And Roll Hall of Fame. So I think you made the song and she's made a ton of great music. You made the song 35 plus years ago. And then it becomes popular again and you have this whole new generation of fans who didn't even exist when it first came out. So I love that it was a female artist. I love and I've had friends like break it down before the lyrics and stuff, you know, and it's a really beautiful, haunting song. I've heard a lot of great covers of it since the song became so popular again. But I do like that. That was, thank God they knew her favorite song. Could you imagine? Like, dear God.
I mean, but also thank God that they're in the 80s and that they're not present day. Because could you imagine, like, bringing up her favorite song on YouTube or Spotify and then an ad interrupts it?
That's how I would have died because I'm a cheapskate and I'm the cheapest Spotify there is.
Or like, you have a weak Wi-Fi signal and it's just buffering.
Yeah. They just look at our pretzel corpse and they're all like, well, this sucks. But yeah, I definitely love that. And, you know, I'm sure you guys, from talking to you guys, I grew up with music that my parents loved. And there was an interview with Joe Keery. He said the same thing that kind of inspired the kind of musician he was as he grew up. As soon as he named Supertramp, that was one of my mom's all-time favorite bands. And I was like, is he going to say Breakfast in America? And he said Breakfast in America. And it just made me so happy. I was like, oh my God, I thought everybody just knew the cover of that song. But I grew up with the classics from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. And, you know, it would be interesting to know what all the characters' Vecna song was, because I feel like that's a regular question that they ask the cast members and stuff, and usually they change. But it's just interesting what song would save you, you know?
Right. I think it's, they really did a lot. I heard a lot right after season 4 of people speculating like what each character's Vecna song would be, and that was really cool. But I think for me though, it would be really hard because it's very hard for me to like pick like favorites of something, plus everything that I love like changes so frequently. Mm-hmm. So it would really depend on like the day what song would be most meaningful to
Megan,
me.
Megan, you definitely die.
I think on the other hand, I think a lot of songs would do that for
they
me.
They'd snap you out of thing. It.
Yeah. So did you put any thoughts, Candace, into what your Vecna song would be?
I have been thinking about this since I first saw Dear Billy
mm-hmm.
back in 2022 has been on my mind pretty often. You know, at first I thought it would be something by My Chemical Romance.
Okay, yeah, I know you love that band, yeah.
I do, because that's a band that, you know, they wrote Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge right after Gerard and Mikey Way lost their grandmother. So I connected with their music and the brothers, the Way brothers, because we were both dealing with loss. So I thought maybe something by that band, and I was like, oh, you know, something off of Danger Days, like Save Yourself, I'll Hold Them Back, because like it's just, it's very on the nose. It's very much like going up against the big bad. Plus there's some really epic sounding guitar solos in there. But I think recently I've changed my answer to the song Crave by Paramore, which is off of their This Is Why album. And I love it because like one of the lyrics that like really resonates for me is I romanticize even the worst of times when all it took to make me cry was being alive. And it just, it really, I don't know, there's something like so poignant about it, because it's just like, you know, there's reasons to still stay alive and to keep seeing what your life has to offer you. And it's just such a beautiful way of saying like, you know, I wouldn't even change the awful stuff that I went through, because it helped me to get to where I am now. It's not like I think that like my trauma made me stronger. I made myself stronger. My friends, like you guys, have helped me to make myself stronger. Music has. But it's just like, no, everything bad that happens in life, there's so much beauty and joy to still experience.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like some of those experiences have already happened, their value is still infinite.
Yeah.
You know, it's those happy times that like really help you to keep moving forward during like all the suckage, you know. So that's why I think Crave by Paramore would be my Vecna song, because I think it would just bring back the good memories with my friends and everything. And I think it would just help me to really like keep running towards that light.
Exactly.
Love that. Yeah.
Thank you. What about, is there a song that has really like helped you through tough times, or like helps you to still like see the good and stuff?
I like a lot of Motown. My mom was a big fan of Motown and Elvis. A week before she passed away, I remember I was having coffee with her, and she wasn't sick. She died very suddenly. And she went, man, can you imagine what the choir in heaven sounds like? One day, because she was a believer, she was like, one day I'll be able to see all my favorite artists performed. And like, gave me chills at the moment when it happened. So part of me was like, did she know? Damn. But anytime I hear anything from the Spinners, from the Supremes, Elvis, it makes me think of her. And she was always somebody who tried to make the best out of things. So I love stuff like that. Actually, like my Vecna song would probably be James Taylor, Fire and Rain, which is featured in season 4, which is, that's one of my all-time favorite songs, even though I know some people, they rather like, you know, fall down into a sack of shit and listen to that song. But
it's just so sad.
It's so sad. And it just, as soon as I heard it when they were driving the RV, I did the Leo point, and I went, oh my God, I love that song. So that song, you know, but I try to like keep things a little upbeat. Fire and Rain might not be the best choice.
I think we talked about that song, or we kind of referenced that, because we talked about with Chris how a lot of the same music from this season is in Remember the Titans.
Yep.
Oh, and yeah.
It's like, God, I can't get that like out of my mind when I think of that song. So
why did I just picture Vecna in like a football uniform?
Yeah. For real. Like, which I will never forget when we were interviewing Chris. He's like, yeah, I was like, did he say he was in kindergarten when Remember the Titans came out, and you and me just like eyed each other, and I'm like,
I think I was at least in middle school.
What year was that? High school. Jam. But yeah, you know, I like upbeat music. I love the oldies and stuff, the classics. But, you know, there's a lot of great music coming out. People used to always make fun of me for knowing nothing about music. I have to, even though I keep calling her Samantha Carpenter, Sabrina Carpenter, you know, like I love Chapel Roan.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, Chapel Roan, she is such a queen.
She is. She's absolutely. I like her a lot.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, there's a lot of good, like, new music recently.
Yeah, this
like,
new
I
generation.
Feel like pop music, I'm, like, connecting with it a lot more than, like, so, I don't know, like, maybe 10 years ago, 5-10 years
Megan,
ago.
Megan.
I agree.
Would you pick, like, a pop song then for your Vecna song,
so,
you think?
No, I think, so I have a couple things to talk about, too. I'm like very nostalgic too about my music. So mm-hmm. I like uh-huh. music that kind of like brings me back to, feelings of like being younger. And you always feel like you were less stressed when you were younger, even though in the moment you were still stressed. Like I was so stressed out in high school, but
it's like that lyric I mentioned earlier. It's like you romanticize even like the stressful times. Like,
exactly.
Oh, that was so great. It's yeah. like, no, like the stress was still there.
Yeah. So there's a couple songs. I thought you would like this because I feel like you're a Green Day fan, but
I am.
So
you are. Yep.
The Good Riddance. I was a theater kid. I was never like the lead in the musicals, but like I did the musicals. So when we would do the musicals, it was like one of those little traditions that everybody before opening night would all stand together and hold hands and literally sing that song. And it started before me. I'm hoping it continued after I was there. But like that
I
song
love that.
Is like, that's a very good, like.
Which Green Day song?
Good Riddance, Time of My Life. Yeah.
The ultimate graduation song.
It's actually cool that you brought that up because when I saw them back on August 28th, that was the last song that they played.
That's what they closed it out with.
To tie
wow.
up everything. Yeah,
was
that's
it like
what they end their set
an
with.
An encore or like the last song before an encore?
It was, if my memory is correct, which I'm hoping it is.
Yeah.
I think it was the last song. Just like
the general
the
last
encore.
Song?
Okay. I think it was like the general last song. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
okay.
It's just
I feel like it would be a good song for an encore. Like
that is
they,
right.
Yeah. Like they leave and you think that they haven't played it yet, and then they like come back out and play it.
I'm gonna have to ask Candace because I saw them in 2006. I'm really dating myself. I can't remember one damn thing, and I was sober during that concert. But I have to ask somebody from high school that I went to with it because I tell you what song they did it out with. But I remember it was a hell of a show. They put on a good show. Was it a great show?
It was fantastic. I mean, you know, their latest album is The Saviors. So it was The Saviors tour, but it was also the 30th anniversary of their album Dookie, which came out in 1994. And then the 20th anniversary of American Idiot.
20
and
years?
American Idiot. It's the first album I fell in love with. Green Day is the first band I fell in love with.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's been such like a huge part of my life, that band and that album, their music. I don't think I'd be who I am today without them.
Yeah.
It was just so meaningful, such a beautiful experience. They played both albums in their entirety.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Plus the new stuff. But, you know, Billy Joe Armstrong, the lead singer at Green Day, I connected with him because he lost his dad when he was 10.
Yeah.
And I lost my mom when I was 11. And so I just think, you know, it's so beautiful how music can really connect us when we're feeling isolated and lost and stuff. And I just, going back to the show, Season 4, like I just wish I could like hug Sadie and just like hug everyone who's worked on that show for creating such a meaningful, healthy narrative on mental health, because I think they really helped to decrease the stigma surrounding these mental health issues. And I'm so happy they didn't do what they've done in our earlier seasons, like Megan, you said, where it's like they go through so much, but we don't really often get to see it. Case in point, Steve Harrington. I'm pretty sure has PTSD, but he's just, you know, he's fine. Don't worry about it. But
if we don't get to see Steve, like, you know, break down in season 5, I'm going to riot because I need it.
And I also think, too, before I lose my train of thought, like,
yeah,
I think when you go through loss at a young age, like Max has, I remember the adults in my life, a lot of them, like, minimized what I was going through because I wasn't an adult. It's like, oh, it's different for you because you're a kid. I love that the show doesn't, they don't invalidate what kids are going through.
Yeah.
And I think that is so, so important.
Yeah.
Because if I had had someone, you know, say like, hey, what you're going through, it doesn't matter that you're not an adult. It's real and it's still hard.
Yeah, loss is loss.
I think that really would have like helped me in the long run. Because I think even though I went to counseling and stuff, early on after my mom passed, I still felt the need to like be okay and to like not really let on that I was still struggling. And, you know, bands like Green Day and My Chemical Romance, like, I feel like I owe them, I have so much gratitude because just like the show, those bands were saying, we're seeing the kids who are struggling, seeing the kids who are trying to be okay, and everything was scary and hard and challenging. They were the adults in the room, so to speak, that saw those kids and was like, hey, you're valid and you're not alone. And if I, like, if we can make it to adulthood, you can too. Like, keep going. There are people who love you. There are people who want to be there for you.
Yeah. You know? And that's cool that they're kind of still touring and still playing and
oh, it's
still
phenomenal.
Yeah. So for me, another artist though that's been really kind of important in my sort of mental health journey, and it's not a very well-known artist, but his name is Trevor Hall.
Oh, you mentioned him.
Shout out.
You saw him this
Trevor
year
Hall.
Didn't you?
I have seen him close to 30 times.
That's amazing.
I am seeing him again in Philadelphia in the beginning of October. So I'm super excited. I need to like go back to my list. I tried to make a list of all the shows I've been to so I could like keep track because
awesome.
I lost count. But I first heard his music in yoga class. So I was in a couple yoga classes and it was on the playlist, and I couldn't figure out, I didn't know who it was. So I started kind of remembering some of the lyrics that I was hearing. Because
what genre is he?
So it's very hard to describe. It's like he does, it's a little bit reggae inspired, kind of spiritual music in a way, but rock and roll. And so it's like perfect for yoga. So I was hearing it in yoga and I like Googled lyrics that I could remember. And that's how I figured out who he was. And I realized that he was going to play a show at a yoga festival that was happening like 20 minutes from my house, like in a couple months from like when I first discovered him. So then I was listening to him all the time, ended up seeing him at the festival, have seen him almost 30 times since then. But his music kind of like, again, similar to like Stranger Things, but like got stuck in my brain and like was really beneficial to kind of changing the way I thought about things, because he is very like, it's sort of meditation, Eastern spirituality inspired. So I actually did end up doing yoga teacher training and became a yoga teacher. I'm not teaching anywhere right now, but I obviously have him on all of my yoga playlists.
I love that.
So, I love that.
But it's like when you go to a show, it's not necessarily like you're sitting there at a yoga class, because he is like a, he's like, a rock, like a full band, like it's a right. rock and roll I mean, type although, show. But
now I'm yeah. just like, okay, now do Downward Dog while I play this next song.
I love that.
Exactly. So it's cool because I feel like even people who will listen to him, you really like it. But then the experience of going to a live show, and I feel like for a lot of bands, that's the same thing. It's like the experience of going to a live show of Trevor Hall is like separate from just like his music. And I like both of them. But again, it has brought me like so much connection too, because just like I enjoy meeting people through the Stranger Things community, I had met so many people going to these shows because he's been super important to a lot of other people as well. So it's cool to connect with people that way. So I feel like really any Trevor Hall song would save
would help
that.
You
I love
absolutely.
That
yeah. Stacey, we gotta remember this, okay?
In we case... gotta remember it, yep. I'm gonna be like Hall & Oates, that's what she said, yep.
And then one more shout out, because I could talk about music for like forever, but
oh so could
the
I
Beatles, same thing.
Okay,
I have been
I was just going to mention the Beatles, yeah. because my mom loved the Beatles and she sparked my appreciation for them. She actually met John Lennon on the sidewalk in New York once.
Oh my
wow,
gosh,
that's amazing.
Like they didn't talk or anything, but like it was this cool like moment where like they acknowledged each other and mm-hmm. they smiled at each other and stuff.
That's so cool.
So I think yeah, Beatles.
Yeah, any Beatles song. I've been obsessed with them from a young age because my parents would listen to them, especially my dad. But I, in college, really got into the movie Across the Universe mm-hmm. when it came out.
Oh,
with
such
all
a gorgeous
of the covers.
Film. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful movie. And I got to see the Beatles Love show in Las Vegas, which is a Cirque du Soleil show.
Oh, that's cool.
But before I'd ever even seen it, I would listen to the soundtrack of that, which is like a lot of Beatles songs just kind of like put together because it's what they use for the Cirque du Soleil show. But yeah, I in my life, if I had to pick a Beatles song, would probably be another like a favorite, but also because it brings me back to, for some reason, I did this, I feel like I've talked about this before, but I did this volunteer program after college and lived in the Marshall Islands for a year and with like 30, 35 other volunteers. And one night we like all decided to sing that song. I feel like a few people were learning how to play ukulele and they were like playing that song. So we were all singing it.
That's amazing.
That's so
I guess
awesome.
Just like moments of like connection and singing with people like stick out in my mind. So,
I mean, yeah. I can like, I remember being in college and like my roommates and I would have like our own karaoke night, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. My roommates and I have a lot yeah. of songs
yeah.
from college that yeah. bring me back to that.
Oh yeah.
What is the song? What is the movie? What is the movie
Pitch
where
Perfect?
No, Knocked Up? And they go to the club. And they're doing the dice.
Yep.
Like, you know what
he's
I'm talking about,
the
right?
dice. It's the only movie he's got. Yep. Stacey
and
Colin.
Whatever song that is. Also, Soldier Boy. Soldier Boy,
oh,
tell him.
Boy.
That
oh
was college.
That was college. Soldier Boy.
All right. So I feel like that's a nice little yeah. lighthearted yeah. note to end in.
Yeah.
Singing and dancing in college with your roommate.
If you get copyrights to Soldier Boy, play it over the, you know, the credits, please.
Can I add something?
Yeah, go for it.
It's like going back, you brought community and how like you found community by going to his name again?
Trevor Hall. Yeah.
Trevor Hall's concerts. I found that through Green Day and all the other bands I'm into, but I think the show also like really like Kate Bush's song Running Up That Hill like really showed that Max has community, but I think
yeah.
they all I think the community became even more close-knit and stronger because of her music, so
yeah.
I just thought that was like really cool too.
Yeah, and I guess that is a good note to end it on, because you can find community in places that you wouldn't necessarily think. And wherever exactly. you're able to find that community Go is valid yeah. and mm-hmm. do it, because people, we've found each other online.
So I know.
It's even for like kids, we tell them like to be careful on social media, obviously. Yeah. But
especially with AI is, now.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh gosh. Yes. But there are so many ways to find that, and just knowing, you know, how to be safe in those spaces, but exactly. to allow yourself to find community where you can and where
exactly
where yeah.
And we're doing this during Suicide Prevention Month, which like was not intentional at all when I chose like this month to do the interview in, but it was just like, wow, how fitting.
Yeah. And it's not going to be out during that month. I can promise you.
I just think it's September. No, I just thought for us, like, I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful note yeah. because, you know,
it is.
With Max's line, we thought we lost
I'm still
you.
Here.
I'm still here.
I'm
you know?
Still here.
So find your people, you know, people out there that are listening, you know, find great music, find great movies, find great communities, find great friends, because you do matter and you're still here.
You're yeah. still here. We're all still here. And, you know,
well,
to whoever's listening, we
here.
Love you.
Yeah, of course.
Candace, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram at Fine to Be Weird.
Cool. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for being here. We had fun chatting.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you for having me. You guys are amazing. Thank you.
Over and out.
Over and out.
Over and out.